Jackson Street Extension, Suite C, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
It's in the middle of your programs, the responsive reading, 1 Corinthians 11, and I want to look at verses 23 through 25, which would be where we will take our subject from. Rita?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It is so important, excuse me, to understand what the Lord's Supper is all about, especially to new converts and new believers, and to understand how serious one must be and sincere one must be in taking the Lord's Supper or sharing in the communion. One of the things that I think is important is how Paul shares with us that he had received this revelation of the Lord. He said he received it and he delivered it. Now, one of the things that you will note about Paul, he was a great leader, but he was also an excellent teacher. And he said in Philippians 4 and 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, one of the reasons why Paul shares this scripture with the Philippian church and with the believers at large is the fact that there are some things you're taught and some things that are caught. And Paul wants us to understand that the revelation that God gives us sometime comes through both mediums, both ways. Sometimes God speaks to you through the text, the written word. Sometimes God gives you inspiration, revelation, and understanding that comes through a rhema knowledge, a revealed knowledge to you at a special time, special place, for a special reason. And so it's important to realize Paul is saying, what I have received of the Lord, I'm delivering it unto you. And then he talks about the Lord's Supper. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, how he took the bread. And before we get into that, of course, most of you know that Jesus, at that Last Supper, he sat down with a man who would betray him and a man who would deny him and some men who would literally go back on their promise to continue with him and his teachings. And so it's important to realize that Jesus in this Last Supper is sharing with them not only revelations about what they're going to do, but what is ahead. And the fact that in this celebration of this Lord's Supper, this Last Supper, is going to commemorate what he's going to do in terms of Calvary's cross, giving his life to secure the souls of all who would come to him. Remember, he said, no man cometh unto me, you see, unto the Father, except by me. He's made it clear he was the way, he was the truth, and he was the life. And so it's important to realize that he's instituting, he is cementing the reality of who he is and who he shall become to them in totality. And so when he takes the bread, he gives thanks for the bread, which is always honoring God for the bounty that he blesses us with. It's amazing, my brothers and sisters, whether our meals are minute or they are major feasts, that God should always receive the grace, the glory for his provisions. I want us to know, it is said in October of 1971, the Shah of Iran threw a major celebration commemorating the 2,500 years of the Persian nation. He invited 60 of the best and most notable kings, queens, and heads of state to attend his celebration. That celebration cost him $100 million to set the table for this royalty. And yet, may I submit to you, Jesus Christ set the table, and it cost him more than that. His menu was simple. It was bread, and it was wine. But the significance of that bread and that wine made all the difference in the world. John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. John 6:51 says, I am the living bread. He goes on to make clear to those Jews who had heard and couldn't receive, didn't want to hear that, that you ate manna, your fathers rather ate manna that came from heaven, but they're dead. But this bread, this living bread, if any man eat of me, he'll live forever. He'll have eternal life. So Jesus was trying to help them understand that the bread was important because the bread represented his body. His body. I've heard all my life preachers, when they got ready to pray over the communion, when they got ready to pray over the bread and the wine, and they'd say this bread, and they pray over it, which was Jesus' broken body. Now, let me just go back and clear up a little bit about this. The bread was broken, not his body. His body was not broken. Rita, I want you to read John 19:33, if you don't mind.
John chapter 19, mm-hmm. verse 33.
Mm-hmm.
But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs.
Wait. Say it again.
But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs.
All right, keep going.
But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water.
Okay, 34.
That was 34. You want to go to
35?
35. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. It's 36. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. 37.
A bone in him shall not be broken. Now, when we go back to Corinthians, Corinthians tells us, I want you to go back there where we began reading, go back to verse 24.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body.
Wait, right there. He said he break what?
Bread.
It, bread. It. Bread. Now, back in Jesus' time, they had loaves of bread. Jesus is sitting around the table. There are 12 men around him. He takes, let's just for visual sake, say that this is a loaf of French bread. He breaks a piece of the French bread, passes it down. He blessed it, and then he break it. Not his body, the bread. And he gave every man around that table a piece of the broken bread, not his body. But he said the bread represents his body. So keep that straight when you talk about what was broken, because the record is clear that not one bone was broken in his body. Somebody ought to say amen to the truth. Those members that I've already taught this to know that, they know when somebody prays and says that, they kind of, well, wonder if he heard the rest of the text, that not a bone was broken in his body. That's not, listen, that's not to make fun of anybody. It's to get the revelation of the truth of what Jesus is saying. And so, because the bread represented his body, represented his life, when we eat the bread suggests, again, we're eating living bread. Those of the forefathers ate manna from heaven. That was bread to keep them alive, to bring them out of the wilderness, but they did not have living bread. They had bread to keep them living. Now we who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior eat the living bread. And every time we eat that bread, that cracker, we then ingest again the remembrance of the living Savior, the living bread, which reminds us that in his body, he delivered us from sin and freedom of the spirit of sin that held us captive before he saved us. So every time we eat this bread, we ingest afresh the reality that Jesus died that I might live, so that I would have dominion over sin and sin not have dominion over me, because he knew no sin in his body, but he took every sin I committed in my body and paid for it with his body. So now every time I eat, I've got to remember all of my sins were paid by this Jesus whose living body I'm eating right now. That's why it should never get old to you when you take the Lord's Supper. It's a fresh reminder, as often as you do this, why you're doing it. You're doing it because he delivered you. I wish I had a deliverer in the house, somebody who's been delivered in the house. He has given you freedom from sin. Look, Satan ain't got no power and authority over you. I'm talking to the believers now. I'm not talking about possessed folks who don't have Jesus Christ. I'm talking about believers. Listen, if the truth of the word is the truth of the word, then we have more power than we recognize. And if we don't recognize it, even though we are made free, we act like we are still bound. You see, if you don't know your authority, if you don't know your rights, if you don't know your privilege, I got news for you. The devil isn't going to tell you. If you belong to Jesus, you do not belong to Satan. He has no authority over you. He has no right to put his hands on you, on your possession, on your body, on your mind. Listen, you just need to renew your mind. You're still operating with old programming. You're saved, but you're still acting unsaved. When you program your mind to the word, then you're going to realize that you have got dominion over sin and Satan, and you are the one who are to act like it. And the devil is not going to remind you of who you are. So until you become converted, you can go down a dry devil, come up, saved, but you'll be wet and still acting like a devil. Because your salvation is in Jesus Christ, it's not in the water. The water just says, I agree that this represents his death, burial, and resurrection. So if you ain't saved before you go in the water, you ain't going to be saved when you come out the water. But you got to know that. You got to know that. When the Ethiopian was on the trail and the eunuch was there with him and he preached the gospel, going back all the way to the beginning of time. And then when he got through, he said, well, if this is true, then here's some water right here. What stops me from being baptized? In other words, when he received the gospel and knew he wanted to be saved and accept the Lord Jesus Christ in his heart, he didn't have to be baptized in the Jordan or in some other famous river. That was a little pool of water. And he said, listen, we don't need to waste no time. I believe, dip me now. And he was saved and baptized. Well, let me say again, when we look at the wine, it's not just juice. It's not just wine, but it represents the precious blood. The precious blood does two things for us. It redeems us and it forgives us. It's forgiveness and pardon. You have forgiveness of sins. You have pardon from those sins. Our problem most times is we don't know how to forgive ourselves. We let the devil beat upon us. Yes, the Bible has made clear all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then John picks up in 1 John and he says, even those who are born again, saved, baptized believers, if we say we have no sin, somebody is lying. I'm talking about believers now. I'm talking about saved folk now. We still, why? Because we're saved from the penalty of sin. We're saved from the power of sin, but we're still in the presence of sin. Which means the content that we put in our thoughts, whether it's our eyes, our ears, our minds, those are the things that control our actions. So if you've got dirty stuff going in your mind, you're going to have dirty things coming out of it. If you have good things going in your mind, you're going to have good things coming out of it. Whatever you put in is the byproduct of what you get out of it. And so you've got to learn how to make sure you renew your mind. You transform your mind through the Word of God. And see, what happens is this. You know, we're so programmed. Why? One of the reasons why people miss God so much, especially on Sunday morning, is because they come only with a mindset of getting and not giving. See, if you came according to the Word to give your praise, to give your thanksgiving, to give your worship, you would not leave here with a burden that you brought here. You would not leave here feeling down and low. You would not leave here feeling like you didn't get nothing, because so many of us are so caught up on getting that we never ever give. And you come here to give, but your mindset and our traditions have taught us to come to get. So if I don't hoop it off and don't honk it off and don't sing and do, oh man. How was Thursday? It was all right. How was the pastor? He just talked or something. But if I crank it up and, you know, start making you feel good, you ain't here for a feeling. This is not entertainment. I'm not a comedian up here to tell you jokes. You didn't buy no ticket to come here and hear me in concert. I'm your pastor. I ain't just some entertainer, some preacher who preaches stuff to make you feel good so you can shout. Listen, if that's what you come for, you're going to miss it at every church, because that's not what God intended you to do when you come to His house. His house is called the house of prayer. Do you pray when you come here? But let me say, Lord, I'm feeling all right now, and move into that move. Oh man, you get to groaning and moaning and moving with me. All right now, we about to have some church. No, you were having church long for that. That's all you came to church for. I'm going to tell you this. It's hard to even give you what you want when you sit up there and don't give God nothing. I'm not mechanical. I can't just get up here and start hollering and screaming when I got a bunch of cold folks sitting on me who act like they don't know how to say amen, don't know how to praise the Lord, don't know how to have the kind of fellowship that brings the Spirit in. And where the Spirit is, there's liberty. Miracles happen where the Spirit is. Burdens are released where the Spirit is. People came in with bowed down heads, leave with heads lifted up high. They come in defeated, they leave out victorious when they come with that desire to give God their best. Their burdens are lifted. You don't know which way to turn when you came in here, but when you leave out, you say, oh, he's a mighty good leader. Lead on, King Jesus. And you start feeling his presence, and everything in you begins to rejoice with him. Yeah, if you call what you think you, I'm going to do. We're a team. You know, when your favorite team is losing, You start hollering, defense, 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 defense. They losing and you cheering them on. Here, I'm winning with Jesus Christ. And some of you sit there and look at me like I done lost my mind. And you expect me to get excited in a cold place. Every now and then I got to push through. Because there's some I got to witness somewhere. And sometimes it's way in the back. And I hear them and they hear me. And the call and response makes me say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody is getting your word. Hallelujah. I don't know you if you know it, but the Lord wants each of us to worship him, to praise him, to thank him. You think about what he's done for you. Don't worry about what he's done for me. Think about what he's done for you this week. Think about the troubles you're looking at and don't know how you're going to deal with. Think about how that person said they'll be with you and they've forsaken you and left you by yourself. And Jesus promised never to leave you alone. And you can't even praise him. When you didn't have money in your pocket and you didn't have food on your table, and you called on Jesus. I'm talking about some witnesses now. How many of you know he answered your prayer? When you were having problems on your job and you didn't even want to go to work, but you gave it over to Jesus. And how many of you know he fixed it? Or he's fixing it right now. Some of you don't even know when you get to your job tomorrow, he gonna be done worked it out for you. Oh my God. There's so many reasons why we honor and praise him and thank him for this table, for his body, for his blood. And we ought to let nothing and nobody stop us from praising the Lord.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Lift up your voice and say now. You have won it all for me. By his stripes we are healed. By his nail-pierced hands we're free. By his blood.